This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. You got it. We got some Leighton Vander Esch content here coming up for you in just 1 minute. We spoke with him at the conclusion of practice. Got caught up, you know. When Leighton left at his little exit press conference there, he talked about being committed to having a great offseason, was hoping his teammates would do the same. We'll ask him about that and everything else. I think we'll get a little fishing in there, a little Northwest fishing talk with Leighton Vander Esch. So, but we got a little Aggies news. If UT and OU join the SEC, it would break a longstanding gentleman's agreement.
Yes.
Between SEC schools that gives conference members absolute veto power over the addition of another school from their state. According to a former A&M official, R. Bowen Lofton helped steer the Aggies into the SEC in 2011. Sure, he's a family friend of Brian while serving as A&M's president. He said the oft-discussed unwritten rule was a specific conversation during expansion in 10 and 11 when he was involved. Served at Chancellor at Missouri as well from 14 to 15. There's this understanding among the membership, at least it was 10 years ago, that you don't admit a school from the same state as a member unless that member school is okay with it. Do you think this would stand in the way of big money? Hell no.
No.
That sounds like a rule from back in the day when money didn't matter as much as it does right now.
It's a fun college football fight because when you think about it, we were talking about this at the Rudder Room. We were doing some bonus segments sitting
nice.
On the beach.
We were.
With some fellow LSU Tigers. It was basically LSU and me out right. there talking about the SEC. And it's like, on the one hand, Texas A&M being in the SEC, one of their favorite things to do is to hold that over Texas's head, like we're the SEC school. And then if Texas is like, all right, well, we want to come on over, then it's like, screw you, pal, you're not welcome here. But the other schools can vote. I believe in the SEC, it's if it's 11-3, then you're good. And they could do it even with Texas A&M not wanting that. But if you're Texas A&M, what you do is you raise hell right now, as opposed to when it's time to actually do it. And you go to Florida, and you'd be like, okay, well, I guess I want to know if Florida State wants to join. You know,
oh, yeah.
Let's have fun in your state. Let's see if you want to compete in conference, in state, for recruits. South Carolina, that's funny. I think Clemson wanted to join.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to let them in, and we'll do that too. And so it's college football is really interesting that way, where it's like it's a battle in so many ways. But there's also so much money to be made. And I was reading an article on The Athletic today. It might have been Stuart Mandel. Don't hold me to that, though. Where it's kind of like, yeah, but you look at it from Texas' point of view, and all they want is to be what they were at football again, be better at football, get even better recruits, make more money, and in theory, all that is available in the SEC.
Hmm.
I'll tell you what, University of Texas would be a perfect SEC school. In my opinion, just because of the ability to – they have the stadium where they can draw. You know, they have the fan base. They have the ability to go get recruits. They could play football well. They could be competitive and all that stuff. But they're really good in all their other sports. Mm. And that's what makes the SEC strong. Mm. That's what makes, like, in baseball, when Arkansas is good and Vanderbilt's good and all these schools are good – you know, that's you know, women's swimming, men's track, all these, you know, Texas has a great history of national championship programs. Remember, we were kind of having fun watching women's volleyball the other day.
Yeah, it was great.
University of Texas in the national
championship.
Right. You know, in the finals there. So when you're an SEC school, you not only have to look at football, which drives, you know, which is your huge moneymaker, but what are your other money-making sports?
Hmm.
You know, LSU is self-sufficient in baseball.
Wow.
Basketball. So some of these other schools like Arkansas, I mean, they become self-sufficient in these in sports where they don't have to just totally take everything from the football program. So you get enough teams like Texas, who's got a huge war chest and the ability to play at national championship levels with all their other sports. It's a perfect fit for the SEC.
I mean, there was part of me that wanted the Big 12 to rise and, you know, challenge them again. But at some point, if you can't beat them, join them. Yeah. I have no problem with it. I think it would make the world of college football maybe a little bit better, although I certainly understand why people might be turned off by that idea. Okay, I guess we're going to have to get this Mav stuff and a little KP reaction a little bit later on, because it's time now to throw to an interview we conducted at the tail end of this afternoon's practice in Oxnard here on 105 Through the Fan. Joining us now on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, is number 55, Leighton Vander Esch. It's good to see you here, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great, thanks. When last we heard from you, as you were setting off to the offseason, you talked about how committed you were to having an amazing offseason, and you hoped your teammates were as well. How'd that come together for you and everybody else?
I think it's showing out on the field. I mean, I think we had everybody here during OTAs, and I think percentage-wise, out of the whole league, we had the most guys. And I think we were the most committed. So it was great to see that around the facility. It was great to see the guys working, the energy, the intensity that we had in meetings and on the field just to make ourselves better. And I know that's what I carried going into this offseason. So I'm excited to see it all pay off.
What did you see today that you liked in that vein?
Just energy and flying around, making plays. I mean, you guys saw it from the get-go. First pass, the freaking team period, picked it off. So, I mean, we're doing good things, and I'm just excited to keep building.
How good are you at the mindset that every human being tries to have, where, like, nothing matters except what I'm doing in this moment? But over the course of the offseason, what people talk about is the defense and how the defense has to get better. Is it possible to block that out? Does it matter to block that out? Or how do you approach that?
It's possible to block it out. It just depends on how you look at it. I mean, if you want to worry about the outside noise, if you want to worry about social media, worry about it. But that ain't me, and I know that's not a lot of the guys on this team. So, I mean – it just depends on what you want to let go in one ear and out the other, or what you're internalizing. So I think everybody's doing a great job of just focusing and having that intense mindset just to come into every meeting, into every walkthrough, into every practice, and to be there now.
Leighton, you've got so many young guys, too, from the draft that you guys are going to have to rely on, though. As a veteran player and all that, you feel the responsibility of trying to get these guys up to speed as quickly as you can, and you know, because you pride yourself on no busts and things like that. So it's got to be important to you to try and get those guys to be on the same page with you, right?
We're only as strong as our weakest link. So,
yeah.
I mean, not saying anybody's weak, but obviously – that was the nice part about having an offseason this year, is the rookies could actually be involved. Last year was a struggle, and we were all behind. But this year, we have no excuses to get everybody right. So it's on us as the veteran players, as the leaders, to get the younger guys right and to bring them along and teach them the ways.
Who's the weakest link?
I'm not saying anybody is.
have you had to slap anybody around, kind of make sure they're getting right out there?
No, I'm really impressed with how the rookies have handled themselves. There's not any complaining going on. They just put their nose to the grindstone and they work every single day. So I'm very impressed with the group that we got this year. We got a lot of size in that class, which I'm impressed with. I mean, you see these guys walking around. I'm just like, every one of them feels like they're 6'3", 6'4", just as tall as I am. So.
It seems like the strength of this defense would be in the linebacker core. You're a first-round pick. Jalen Smith is a near first-round pick. Now Micah Parsons, Jabril Cox, Keanu Neal, all these different guys being brought in. Is that another one of those things where it's just like, don't worry about it, my job, do my part? Or, you know, it's a first-round pick at one of the positions that you play. So how does that factor into your approach?
I'm just focusing on what I can control. And I know the guys are too. I mean, we're working together as a unit. We know that the defense breathes around us. So if we have our stuff right, we know that we're going to be able to have the defensive line right, and we know that we're going to have the secondary right. So how we lead out there, how we communicate, we got to get everybody right. Like I said, I'm just focusing on what I can control and doing my job. And like I said, I take pride in doing it to the best of my ability and being as perfect as I can. So that's just all I'm worried about.
It's Cowboys linebacker Leighton Vander Esch here with you on The Fan.
Yeah, Leighton, you know, I was watching out there. I was watching OTAs and minicamp, and I couldn't get a bead on how you guys were running as far as where you were playing your guys. It seemed like that every time you guys were going to different positions and stuff like that. Is that something that Coach Quinn's come in and said, listen, you got to be able to play here and here and here? Because I couldn't get a gauge of who was lining up where. And maybe that's the great part about what this defense
yeah,
could be.
You're exactly right. I think that's another thing that our unit's taking pride in is being able to play any position that they need us in. Sam, Mike, Will, Dime, it don't matter. The more you know, the more you're going to be able to do for this team and this defense. So I know I've been working as hard as I can to study up on every single one of the positions, and so I can go out there and do my job no matter where they put me.
Leighton, how sure are you that as a group you can avoid some of the pitfalls that happened in the first half, particularly last year?
Communicating and just staying focused, knowing that what our job is every single play that we go out there, if we prepare and practice the way we've been doing it and building those championship habits, the good things are going to come.
Give us a firsthand look at playing for Dan Quinn, at what it's like working with him, because all we've seen really is I've seen him talk, and I love it. Like, just watching him interact and talk about what you're doing out there, it seems like a dude that gets it, that wants to have his hands around it, that is excited to be there. What's it like to work for him, play for him?
He is a phenomenal dude, man, and it's a breath of fresh air for, I think, everybody. The way he's involved, his intensity that he carries into the meetings. I talk about intensity. I've said that four or five times probably in this interview, but that's what it is. I mean, his intensity that he carries, his focus, we talk about it pretty much beginning of every meeting, of being relentless and building those championship habits, running to the ball, and knowing that it's going to hurt in the process, but knowing that it's going to do good things for us in the future and throughout the season. But working under him and his knowledge and his energy that he brings every single day, it's unmatched. And I'm just lucky he's our defensive coordinator.
It looked like you were having fun out there with those reads. Was it fun to get across from the offensive line again and kind of in that full speed kind of mode, be able to read schemes and stuff like that again? Kind of the old hat for you, huh?
Yep, absolutely. This system is exactly what I'm built for. So, and I know that's what all the guys think too. So, I think they're all enjoying it. Everybody's filling in their piece of the puzzle, and we're just working towards that finished product.
What can you tell us about the rookie Micah Parsons?
Oh, he's a ball player. He's a funny dude. he's a character, but he has a great personality. He's fun to be around. Obviously, he can make plays, and he's extremely athletic and talented. So we just got to keep building together as a unit, knowing that we're going to have to depend on him at some points throughout the season to go out there and be able to play, like I said, any position. So he's good for us.
Who's going to be the star of Hard Knocks? Who's going to go find the cameras? Or who are they going to go find? Like, I don't want to accuse anybody of going to find the cameras and playing it up, but who are the cameras going to go find?
I mean, I think they've been following Zeke and him around quite a bit. I mean,
Do you kind of slide through? Do you kind of slide by? Have you figured out? You got good instincts. Yep. So you already know how to walk around.
Find a way around it.
Did you do anything this offseason that Cowboy fans would find entertaining involving animals? The wolf hunter thing, they eat it up. Do we have anything fun involving an animal?
Shoot. We did a lot of fishing. I was in Dallas the whole freaking offseason.
Oh no!
I didn't get home until this summer for a couple of weeks. So really, it was training and then a lot of fishing. Like 3 weeks ago, for like a week, we went home to Idaho to Riggins and did a lot of fishing and did some camping and some boating and stuff like that. But it was fun. Like I said, I was focused on just getting better this offseason, so I didn't really have much chance to do all that.
Is that river fishing or lake fishing up there?
River.
Yeah. What'd you catch?
We went sturgeon fishing. We caught four sturgeon in the one day, and we caught a bunch of bass and a bunch of trout. So it was super fun.
Do the lures have cool names? Brian uses a whopper plopper.
Yeah, I fish with a whopper plopper that you drag across the top. You know, so sturgeon's a little bit bigger. You gotta be a weightlifter to get them sturgeon out of there.
Yeah, you fight them. You fight them for about now, and it's very common to fight like a big one for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and a lot of times you don't even land them because they freaking break the hook off, break your line.
Well, Leighton, best of luck to you. Thanks for joining us on The Fan. We look forward to, you know, following you throughout camp and this season. Have a good one.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Leighton Van Der Esch with you on 105.3 The Fan. A lot of interesting stuff in there. What's so different about last year's scheme to this year? Sorry if you had a point there, Brian.
No,
but why is it a perfect fit for him?
I was asking this because I wanted to see. He looked bigger to you, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he's keeping distance from us, distance. But, man, he looked physically a lot bigger.
Yeah. Like when he came in, he was long, but it was still like a teenager's –
sure.
Sinewy, is that the word? But now it's all filled out. He's got a man's body now. His legs are like tree trunks, bro.
Right.
Yeah, he's ready to rock.
Spine get any wider?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know about that?
You got to put a lot of muscle around that body and hope for the best. Get that body armor.
Yeah, I like that.
Get that body armor.
That's good fishing up on those rivers, though.
It is good fishing.
And that question from Gavin to you is a good tease.
Okay.
So maybe just don't answer it.
All right. All right.
Next segment, I thought we would just go over. Brian's got a notebook from the first practice. I thought we'd just do a notebook on day one.
Sounds good.
Next on The Fan. Yeah.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we're broadcasting live here at Cowboys Training Camp 2021. Our coverage brought to you by Goody Goody Liquor and Mortgage Financial Services. It is also brought to you by this segment. It's brought to you by Soda, that's state-of-the-art, and the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, not your fault, call the Frankels, 214-333-3333, or go online to truckwreck.com. Here's Jeff with some sports stuff.
So I want to go over, this is the beauty of having stolen Brian Broaddus from DallasCowboys.com, is now when we're out here at Cowboys camp, we can just make him do more than one segment. We can make him sit here all day. Mm. And so I want to just go over sort of his scouting notebook, because our guy Broaddus took – It's a page of notes, but there's a lot of words on there. You want to see my notes from the practice? That's my notes right there. I wrote down a two-person depth chart of each corner spot and the starting four on the defensive
line. Get up there on that
line.
Webcam. Compare and contrast up there on the webcam.
That's
the,
my notes.
Yeah. I like Brian's, man.
My notes say Anthony Brown, Kelvin Joseph, Trevon Diggs, Nashawn Wright, and then the starting four defensive linemen when they took the field in 11-11, Basham, Gallimore, Watkins, Gregory.
Thought that right, didn't we?
So that is here you go. So here's my full notebook first. My full notebook is when we
– good work, Jeff.
I wanted to watch the defensive line, but when you're watching the first practice, they're all broken up forever, and they're all doing their individual drills, and then they got your special team stuff, and when they finally all come together, I'm sitting there with my pen the entire time like, let these dudes get to 11-on-11 and watch me scribble down who's the starting D-line. So no Tank Lawrence today. He's on the physically unable to perform.
Yeah, you know, and I reached out to somebody in the organization. I know Mike Fisher brought that up. I wanted to kind of follow up with that. Maybe we can get some before we go off the air today that someone says, nah, Brian, don't worry, or, yeah, Brian, we're going to need time, you know, how that goes. So maybe we can have a report on that.
So for today, you're starting, quote, defensive line, even though Terrell Basham was standing up on the first play, but he was playing the edge.
Yeah.
And then you had Neville Gallimore, Carlos Watkins, the free agent edition.
Thought about that. Yeah.
And Randy Gregory. Obviously, Tank would have been in for Basham if he were available, but that is your defensive line at least on day one.
I was wondering who was going to be your nose tackle. Was it going to be Brent Urban? Was it going to be Quentin Bohanna?
Yeah.
The answer on day one is Carlos Watkins.
Carlos Watkins. Yeah, I kind of felt like that Carlos Watkins was going to be – the coaches have a lot of – and the scouts have a lot of I want to say, is it trust? Is it confidence? Is it, you know, is it something that the scouts saw? You know, last year the pro scouts will admit they had a bad year. They had a bad year scouting, bringing in, you know, free agents, you know, especially defensive line free agents. They had one had an injury and then one wasn't very good. So, you know, they were really interested, though, in Watkins and what he could do. To me, he was a guy that is – he could play a tackle. He could play as a base, and I mean base in a 3-4 defensive end where you play head up. And then, and it's funny because I was teaching Sean this in the practice about two-gapping, and I said, let me show you the best example of two-gapping.
Oh, did you two-gap Choppy?
I two-gap Choppy, too. They were both standing down there with me. And it's so
– give him one of these.
It was funny. It was
might
funny.
Want to see a doctor after that brought us.
It was funny. It was funny because I explained it to Sean. And then Sean explained it to Choppy. Like Choppy walked down to the drill, and he goes, hey, what's going on down here? And Sean goes, we're watching him two-gap. And Choppy goes, what? He goes, we're watching him two-gap. And Choppy goes, what are you talking about? And Sean goes, watch. And so, like, Bohanna hits the bag. He looks to his left. He looks to his right. He looks to his left. He gets rid of the blocker, and then he goes to the ball.
Then you turn yourself around. Yeah,
you do that's how you two-gap now.
Hey, exactly. So, yeah, we were, you know, we were bucket-stepping and two-gapping on the field
you
today.
You weren't bucket-stepping while you were two-gapping.
We were charging. We were extending, man. We were extending. And
you were two-gapping trying not to get punch drive climbed on.
That is true. Yeah. And that happened to Basham. I said that earlier, man. Yeah. That was – when I mean, there was of all these notes, if you're watching on the cam, I mean, of all my notes, there were some I starred. And the one of them that I did star was the one when Basham just got obliterated by with no pads. Like, Martin and Collins come off the ball in a double team, and it's like immediately. And Brad Sham and I both go, oh, no.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, Brad, you saw the same thing. He goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that was saying, I mean, I was watching, you know, I was watching Parsons. I talked about him with his hand down, rushing the passer. Great move inside on Knight. Again, I know it's Knight. You know, last year he was a starter and all that. But
does he have that bend?
Yeah, you know what it was? It was an inside move,
oh,
too.
On that
was,
play, yeah.
It was like he set Knight up rushing hard outside, and then as soon as Knight's weight got to the outside, he just went right inside. And Knight's like, oh, he's like, you know, a Bourbon Street drunk trying to kind of get in the way
easy.
Of him.
Easy. No, I'm a pro football player.
I'm just saying, man, that the guy, Randy Gregory, I thought had a really good run. He beat Lyle Collins one time on a rush, and it was down there. We called it drill half line, and
like a 2-on-3 or a 2-on-2.
It was like twist drills and stuff like that. So it was a little half line work where you get the tackles and the guards together, the ends and the tackles together. And Randy, so the first time they ran the rush, Collins kicked. Because remember I was talking about you guys, I want to see how he gets away from the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, the hips.
The hips. And the hip looked good because he got away so fast that Randy really had nowhere to go. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't counter Collins being on him that quick. So then it's like, oh, okay, I see where we're going here. This is Collins. Or excuse me, Randy. Randy's like, okay, I'm just going to now run as low as I can underneath you.
Uh-huh.
And that's where – and then
– that's Ben.
Collins set up like, okay, I'm going to catch you high. And Randy was running like so low to the ground and worked underneath Collins. And Collins could not push him down or get his hands on him. And then Randy got to the quarterback. So that right there – you were talking about Gallimore today. You saw both you guys.
He looks big.
That's what I'm saying.
And you never know like what weight are they asking players to be at or whatever. But my first thought was like I'm looking at Neville Gallimore, and for a second I was like,
monster.
Is that Bohanna?
Yeah.
Like that's how kind of wide Gallimore looks.
You,
I don't know if that's
the Cowboys.
Good or bad.
The Cowboys do this if you ever get one of their flip card things like we're showing here, one of these flip card things from practice. They take a great deal of pride of making sure the weights are accurate. They're not trying to blow these things up. So he's listed as 310 pounds. But he looks bigger than 310 pounds.
Yeah,
I say
he looks
that
like a big boy.
He does look like a big boy, but really nice job of him that Matt Farniok, the rookie from Nebraska, like he Gallimore like swims around him. Farniok tries, snaps the ball, tries to set, and like he doesn't even get his hands on Gallimore, and boop, right around him, swim technique. We're trying to figure out these threes. You know, we're trying to figure out who these guys are going to be. Who are they going to be the starters? Urban, Gallimore. You know, it's a shame that Tristan Hill's on the PUP. I mean, we, you know, out of sight, out of mind. I'm sorry, Tristan Hill, if you're not out here practicing in one of the 12 practices we have on this field, this is where we're doing the lion's share of the work. Once we get back to the star, there's going to be work, but it's getting ready for a season.
And it always goes – I feel like it always goes back to what you say about sponsors. Where you are on the team is determined by how recently you were acquired and what it cost to acquire you and who did it. So the guys who are on – if you didn't see this today, I apologize, but the guys who are on the physically unable to perform list to start camp, Amari Cooper – doesn't matter, obviously. Yeah. He's a starting wide receiver. He's your number one wide receiver. He's a really good player. Tank Lawrence, he's your best defensive player. It doesn't matter. When he's ready to go, he'll be ready to go. Tristan Hill, that matters.
Yeah.
Because right this second, guys like Neville Gallimore, guys like Brent Urban, they're out there. Oso Odighizuwa is out there. Quentin Bohanna is out there.
Yeah.
There's guys who were acquired more recently than you that are out there. You are in danger. Chauncey Golston is on the PUP.
That's a good question today, by the way.
I don't think it's that big of a deal because if you were picked in the first three rounds this year, you're making the football team.
I wonder if Chauncey Golston got hurt in the conditioning run yesterday because they're talking about it was a hamstring.
And
I wonder if he – by the way, I got that text I was looking for about Tank.
Okay.
The question was, all good with 90 when this camp. Response was, he'll be ready when it matters.
Okay.
That's what they said.
Okay, so get ready to not see Tank the entire camp.
So Mike Fisher, congratulations. Mike did a good job there. He had that down. He said there was going to be some, you know, we'll see him when we see him. And Mike was right about that. And so good
and
for them.
And Tank, I know that he's on the PUP and he's not going to be practicing, but he's still out there.
Yeah.
Like Gavin mentioned earlier, Amari Cooper was technically out there.
Yeah.
Like I saw some video. I never saw him.
He was up the tunnel.
Okay. I saw video somebody posted of him doing some resistance cord stuff. But when I first walked out there at the beginning of practice, Randy Gregory was working on sort of the pass rush moves and approaching the pads and what move are you going to use. And Tank Lawrence was right behind him. Every time that Randy Gregory finished, he would walk back and Tank would talk to him and kind of coach him up. So obviously, he can't physically, or they don't want him to physically do anything right this second. But he's out there, and he's working in whatever way he can, which I guess is, hey, teach Randy some things, get Randy ready to put in some work on pads. So, anything else in the notebook, or you feel like we're?
Yeah, I'm looking all through. I did have a note here about Joseph on a free play that they had. They got him to jump off sides, and he was in coverage downfield in really, really, really good position on a guy, Johnny Dixon, who's a wide receiver. Again, he's having to go against some of those guys like that. But
he actually, Kelvin Joseph, I did notice, and it didn't look like anything was wrong with Anthony Brown, but as they were going through it, generally it was Anthony. If Anthony Brown was on the field, it meant that Jordan Lewis was on the field. It meant that Trevon Diggs was on the field.
Yeah.
Towards the end of some of the seven-on-seven stuff, it was Trevon Diggs is on the field, Jordan Lewis is on the field, and Kelvin Joseph is on the field. He actually got to mix it up a little bit with the other starting cornerbacks.
He sure did.
So we shall track as we go through camp.
By the way, too, real quick, if you're a Reggie Robinson fan out of Tulsa, he had a pass where Dak tried to throw the ball to Schultz, and Schultz was lined up all the way to the outside, and Robinson was in position and was able to knock that ball away. So if you're hoping for Reggie Robinson maybe being a corner that can make this team, he had a decent play today that they got on film.
There you have it. Okay, it's time now for a Cowboys Ask Us Anything that might be on the top of your mind as camp is officially underway. We're going to get to that, but before that, I have a question about college football for you guys. Is this move to the SEC possibly already a done deal? In light of this latest news, it just might be. So we'll get that. Then your questions for Jeff and Brian next in the Nation.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Nelly Cruz getting traded from Minnesota to Tampa. He's going to be with the Rays now. So there he goes. It's time, though, for Cowboys Ask Us Anything on day one of training camp in Oxnard, California at 877-881-1053. Let's spend just 30 seconds here, though, and the question is this SEC thing already over? Pete Thamel, Yahoo college writer, multiple sources have indicated OU and Texas are not expected to take part in the Big 12 call this evening. As reported earlier, it's a call to discuss the future and contingency.
Oh, yeah. Apparently it's happening, that call. And OU and Texas are not on it.
Yeah.
So whatever is going on, they're trying to make some moves.
Is this a thing you think they could back out of, that they're trying to send a strong message? Like, remember a few months ago the soccer teams were doing their own thing,
and
they were all walking and talking like it, and then, boom, a hammer dropped, the offer changed, and all of a sudden they shifted back the other way. How do you interpret their decision to not participate in this call?
I think these universities are a lot tougher than those soccer teams. I really do.
Plus, that soccer thing lasted like 3 hours.
It's funny. It's funny because there was such backlash. And, you know, I think when you start to talk about the universities that are involved, Texas and Oklahoma, of course, their alumni are going to be, let's do this. Let's go. Let's do whatever we have to do to make our university the best and get the money. And, you know, Alabama generates $100 million alone a year just in football.
Yeah.
You know, think about that. Think about how that helps your other – think about how it helps me build buildings, you know, stuff that you can – you know, stuff for the academic side of things and things. And, you know, that we, even with the pandemic, the SEC – through pandemic was able to give their teams right at $26 million each. Mm. You know, they were saying, hey, listen, we know times were a little tough. You know, we know it was tough all over the conference, but here's $26 million. Don't worry about giving it back. We'll try and help you the best we can. And that's what the SEC can do, I think, for Texas and Oklahoma if they're involved.
Well, hopefully both those schools and their alums end up winning. I know change like this can be traumatic as a fan. Okay, it's time now for your AUAs, your Ask Us Anything. Look at Kenny from Quinlan. You'll hear from him tomorrow. What you drinking and what you thinking.
Rock and roll tequila.
Yeah, how does the play look like at safety so far? Any notes from safeties today, gents?
Yeah, did I look at – I mean, I was trying.
They started off when they went to, because again, they spend a lot of the practice in their position groups.
Yep.
So I really will pay attention to the secondary when they actually all come together and they're playing team defense. And it was DeMonte KZ and it was Donovan Wilson. That's how they started out. There was a lot of Jayron Kearse working in as well. But nothing about the safety play stood out to me, and maybe that's a good thing. That means there was no bombs just going over your head.
Yeah, the thing that I was over there watching the drills, and I kind of felt like, though, that with guys like Kearse, that it's a little bit, you know, he's a 6'4", 222-pound guy. He's a six-year guy of Clemson. Jeff, I mean, we just did not like him at all coming out of Clemson, and I remember why, because he labors to run.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't move with any fluidity, but he's a man that's that big. He's 6'4", he's 222. I thought he had a problem with that. I kind of felt like this Tyler Coyle was another guy that from Purdue. He's 6'1", 210. I was watching him. I'm like, man, this guy doesn't have much quickness to him. And then I'm looking at Kazee, and I'm like, God, he looks really short. So, I mean, these guys all seem like they've got – I will say this. Will McClay came up to me. I was along the fence. He came over to get something. I think Coach McCarthy was asking him a question. Will came over to grab something from somebody and went back over. They were watching the safeties and the corners work today very intently, both of them. So I'm sure that, you know, if you got the head coach kind of heading that direction, and then, you know, you got the director of player personnel over there too, trying to figure some things out, you know, maybe they're just watching how these guys were going to work and maybe who looks good and who doesn't. I kind of saw some guys struggling with their movement myself.
By the way, wild card, because we got the rosters today. I saw Reggie Robinson playing some corner today is when I noticed him.
Listed as what?
They're listing him as a safety again.
Safety, yeah.
So right. Reggie Robinson was a corner. He was a safety. He got moved back to corner. He's listed as a safety. He played some corner.
When I saw him knock the ball down with Schultz, he was playing the left corner.
Yes.
Is when I saw him, yeah.
Right.
Which linebacker do you think ends up on the chopping block from the 8-3-2?
Well, the two guys who continuously started every time they ran a 7-on-7 play or an 11-on-11 play, you know who they were? Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith.
Yep.
Those were your starters. And that's
and
the thing I wonder.
You can keep your five main guys. We're talking like Gifford or Bernard, right, for the chop line?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about trying to chop one of them off the field between those two.
Yeah, the thing is funny when that I was talking about, I was describing that stretch play that where the linebacker that was in the hole that would have met Zeke was Jalen Smith, and in my mind, I merely said, "Oh, that's a big run," because I thought I thought Zeke would plant, and then Jalen wouldn't be able to like adjust with him and make the play. But yeah, Jeff's right. It's 9 and 55 when they're going at least for today's practice for sure.
Anything on Jabril Cox, Jeff? Did he notice anything?
Linebacker. I didn't notice a whole lot watching him today because what they were doing is the guys who were getting the most work is they would go Jalen Vander Esch.
I told you it's tough, man.
And then they would run on Parsons and Keanu Neal.
Yeah.
And then Jabril Cox would get in some, and Francis Bernard and Luke Gifford would get in some.
They would.
The one thing that stands out about me with Jabril Cox is I need to see what he's listed at. Well, he's taller than all the other ones.
He is.
That is a big, long-limbed dude.
That's
probably why he's so good in coverage. I was watching the linebackers when they were doing some of their – I guess it's a coverage drill. Like they're just kind of, it's a fluidity drill, I guess.
Right.
It's kind of around bags, turn that way, run this way.
Looks like a linebacker.
He looks good running though.
He sure does.
That's a cover linebacker.
Yeah.
And boy, he is, they are building a big, long defense.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Were you watching that one down in the corner there? Because that's what I noticed from Jabril. I don't have the scout's eye, but he looked fluid, more fluid than the linebackers and more fluid than half the running backs that were in the drill with him.
Despite being probably the tallest out of all of those guys.
Yeah,
that was really cool. When's the first episode of Hard Knocks aired? I believe that's August 1st?
August 10th.
August 10th.
Okay. I think it's 10th, yeah.
All right. Ryan and Rowlett, do we have our week one starting cornerback duo currently on the roster?
Yeah. I wouldn't think that they're going to add a serious veteran.
No, remember they're one short today. They're one short, and so there's some talk about they were Holton Hill.
Yeah, Hook 'em Hill. Yeah, they might be working out Holton Hill.
Holton Hill was at Minnesota, and likely he played at Minnesota with George Edwards, so George would know him. We're trying to bring guys in that maybe have some familiarity. But, yeah, I don't think they're anything right now. I will say, though, I thought Brown made a good play today. I thought Diggs made a good play today.
And Sean Wright knocked down two or three balls today again.
Wright, Joseph. I mean, I felt like the secondary was in pretty good shape today with the way they were playing.
And I'm not going to get excited because I've seen some of the corners that are currently starting play in the NFL for a half decade. I'm going to try not to do the training camp thing where you get excited. But for one day – they all covered well.
They did.
Everybody looked pretty good.
Yeah, right
on. Kelvin Joseph had his moments making plays. Anthony Brown.
I need more seriousness from Kelvin.
Trevon Diggs was great.
Well, I was watching him over with Will and Coach, the gym coach over there on the field, and his footwork looked better. Okay, I'm in better shape. I'm not gonna labor to have to pedal and turn and and brake and all that. It seemed like that he was where he needed to be.
From your experience, when rookies come in and they're all talkative and having a great time and yucking it up, I guess it's cool. Maybe it's just my bias that I want more seriousness. I guess you can take it serious and still be having that level of fun and talking that much, right? To me, I guess nervousness shows how serious you're taking it, especially from the beginning. Maybe that's just my experience.
I thought it was pretty funny when Leighton was talking about – we asked him about Parsons, and he's like, oh, no. He kind of immediately said, he's a different guy. He's kind of a fun guy.
I think it's usually the really – a lot of times it's the really talented guys.
Yeah.
Like they're more
– funny and entertainers.
Because they know that they belong. Like Parsons
all right.
is always going to be having fun out there too.
Yeah, not too big,
Okay. Hey, guys, who will start in the trenches, O-line and D-line? Wow.
The O-line will have no surprises. Tyron Smith, Connor Williams, Tyler Biadasz.
Martin.
Zach Martin, Collins. Lyle Collins, yeah. That'll be your five.
Yeah.
D-line? I don't know. Yeah. If you wanted to go based on today, it would be Tank Lawrence,
yeah.
Neville Gallimore, Carlos Watkins, and Randy Gregory.
Yeah, you had it. But, yeah, I think that what's going to happen, it's going to end up being – I'll be interested to see who, in fact, does play the three, if it's Neville Gallimore. I thought Neville Gallimore had a good day today. I did. I'm interested to see if, you know, is Watkins going to be the one, and is, you know, and how does Britt Urban, does he fit in as a, is he going to be a second down or third down player, a rotational player, but maybe give you a little bit more push as a pass rusher. So we'll
random see. Guy, if anybody's interested in random names, there are two James Madison guys in camp at least, because I remember they were both in camp last year. One of them's not any good. That's Sanuch.
Yeah.
Rondell Carter had a couple of nice plays today. If anybody's interested in an end-of-the-roster guy, he's a defensive end out of James Madison. He made a couple of plays in a row.
Okay, 817, what would give you more stress, the offense or the defense looking bad in training camp?
Defense.
Yeah,
I'm good with the offense.
Yeah, I'm encouraged by the fact that, you know, I know you're going to get Amari Cooper out there. I know things are going, you know, are going to be better off with, you know, Dak's going to get better every practice for you there. So if the defense was just getting shredded, constantly every day, I would be more worried about that.
See the 928 asking, did the linebackers look like they knew how to read an offense, or are they still confused about where they are?
I did not see much confusion today. Guys seemed to know where to line up and where to run to after the ball was snapped, which is so silly that has to be a talking point. But, hey, Cowboys, you earned it because we watched you last year.
Yeah.
Why is everybody running the wrong way? What's happening? They seem to know which way is north, south, east, and west.
They look like they were picking up stuff, especially in the scramble drill stuff. Guys look confident that they knew where they needed to be.
All right, 214. Hey, Gavin, have you seen Mickey in Oxnard yet? Yep, saw him yesterday after I picked up my credential. He gave me a very short and terse, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And I think he wants to fight me.
He said anything to Brian?
No.
I saw they were standing right next to each other for a minute, and I was like, oh, here's our hug opportunity. Let's see what happens.
Mickey and I did not hug it out.
You didn't?
I'm sorry about that, yeah.
Tough break.
All righty, it is time now for the fifth hour of the G-Bag Nation, and as we do every night at 6 o'clock, it is time for Jeff's unnamed sports segment of the day, buddy. Where are we headed?
Well, I got some good news about this Cowboys defense after practice numero uno.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.